Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome back to the Roker Report podcast. We have a special episode today. We've got two guests with us today, one very special one very normal one. Gav, how are you doing?
I'm all right. Very good.
And we have Andrea Bell from Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen.
Am I the special one?
You're the special one. Woo! Well, it's definitely not Gav or me, is it? So.
Andrea Mourinho. The special one.
The special one.
So we haven't done a script for this, so we haven't got anything that we're going to necessarily ask straight off the bat, but I think... Andrea, how's it been this week?
Just the fact that poor Gavin's sick of me saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, because that's all I've said all week. Because it started off, there was only initially the £2,000. We were absolutely thrilled to even think that was going to be half of what we were, you know, £1,000 what we were going to get. And then Gavin kept saying, hang on, Andrea, it's gone up a bit. It's gone up a bit. And literally, look at it now. I mean, what was it last count, Gavin? 13,000?
About 13,400. Yeah. I mean, I'd have to check.
I think in a matter of about 4 days, isn't it?
Yeah, four days. I mean,
so
we started on
absolutely
Tuesday,
manic week. Our sites, we've now got four of us answering messages for people. So it's gone kind of difficult to just keep on top of the general messages we're getting. Just the support that we've probably, I mean, we've only been going since July. So we're just on the 5 month mark. But just this week's boomed. I think we were sort of on a hamster wheel. Now we're on a bit of a Ferris wheel, but it's just fantastic. I mean, look, it's just people supporting and people, and a lot of the time as well, it's recognition for the work that we're doing because it's essential here in Sunderland.
Yeah, and I think I'll tell you what, before we go into that, actually, we'll start right from the beginning because I mean, talking about how mad the week's been, I was stuck in university on I think it was Monday. Gav sent me a message over and just said, look, this is what we're doing. Heading towards Christmas is something we're doing. I was like, oh, brilliant. That's fantastic. I'll like promote that, send that to a few people and stuff like that. I edited a video in my class and by the time I came back, we'd hit target. So it was a bit like, but where did the whole idea come from? Like, I mean, Gav.
Yeah. So last year, obviously, we didn't really talk much about this offline between everybody from Rotor Report, we clubbed together. I went a little, I had like £200 and filled my car with food because they were doing a food bank collection at the fan zone before one of the home games. I can't remember which one. So this year I thought, well, should we do something similar, I guess?
My looker.
I thought, well, why don't we, I mean, GoFundMe takes 2 seconds to set up and why don't we encourage people to get on board? So it's not just us doing it, it's the people who listen to the podcast, read the website, followed us on social media and so on. So between 3 or 4 of us, we're just sort of like, right, we're going to try and push this for a couple of days, see what happens.
This is literally what
happened, right? I thought, right, we'll do two causes. So the food bank we supported last year, said, well, we'll support those again because obviously they do a great job and keeping people's bellies full. But then I thought, you know, it'd be nice to do something regarding homelessness because to be honest, the fact I even had to Google homeless causes in Sunderland was testament to the fact that I either wasn't educated enough about what goes on in the city because I would like to think I would know more than just shelter as a name off the top of my head. And two, it's probably a damnation of the fact that we don't talk about it enough, you know, wider than that. So, I mean, I think the fact that regardless of the money we've raised now, causes like what Andrea does, with the soup kitchen have actually been given a bit of a profile, and now people know more about it. And hopefully, well, on the back of this conversation we're having today, is like great. So yeah, I was looking for homeless causes in Sunderland. First one that turfed up was the soup kitchen.
Don't think about me. And
I went onto Facebook, noticed they were very active. I thought, well, yeah, that's good stuff. Literally set it up and sent Andrea the link and said, look, we're raising money for you. And she just like...
screamed.
Yeah. Can I ring you? So I said, yeah, why not? I've not spoke to you before.
So this week I'm my surrogate mother. I've been on the phone more than
pretty much, aye. So we've done a good job in terms of getting the name out there. But yeah, originally it was a case of, why don't we try and raise £2,000? Because I thought, well, we raised £200 amongst the small group of contributors we've got.
Yeah.
You know, surely we can get the £2,000. And I think within 3 hours we'd hit £2,000. And ever since then, it's just went on and on. I mean, like I say, it's on nearly £14,000 or whatever now. It's crazy.
If you think about it, though, it's, in a sense, it should have done well. Because when you reach out to, especially people from the Northeast, when you reach out, you always get.
Yeah.
You always get. They maybe just need a channel for them to support their donation of money or their donation of clothes or time or food. And I think they just needed a channel.
I think it's a perfect storm. I said this to you the other day.
Yeah.
When you take into the current political climate, there's a general election coming up. Social issues are right at the top of everyone's priorities at the minute. Everyone's talking about what's going on in the country. Sunderland fans just don't generally have a lot to shout about at the minute. The team's crap. We're not enjoying going to games anymore. Fans are at each other's throats over the way the club's being run. It's Christmas coming up. Everybody feels charitable around Christmas. And so just marrying those things together has created this, which is just beyond what we could have ever expected, really.
I think we all want to inject a bit of positivity because there's not a lot. All the political stuff looming, it highlights everything. But grassroots, back home, there's massive problems. And maybe it's overseas and all the political stuff that's missing the plot, that people are absolutely starving and have no money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just for Gavin to come along at this time. Okay, yes, it's Christmas. I mean, our service, just to sort of, obviously we haven't spoke about you, but just to clarify it, we're every single night of the week, 7 nights a week, free food, 3-course meal. It's a bit a la carte, really, isn't it?
It's crazy,
It's crazy good food. It's all made with, home-cooked food.
And I saw some of the videos and that. Yeah, stuff like that. It's bloody good food, isn't it?
We mean, obviously, just to let people know who are listening, me and Tom Albrighton from the podcast, we went down on Wednesday night, and we went to help out just to see how it all works, really, and
the money's going.
Yeah, help dish the food out and stuff. And I mean, they're better fed than me. 3 courses, biscuits, chocolates,
bread and butter pudding.
There was a soup, bread and butter pudding. They had pasta bake. There was, let's say, biscuits and cakes and chocolates. And I mean, really, really, you know.
Hot chocolate with marshmallows. So
everybody gets looked after. That's the point of it. And I mean, I know obviously food banks and stuff, there's a little bit more structure in place with how you receive your food from a food bank. Whereas this is still
coping with the same problem though. This is why it's great that we're both. There's not either myself or one going to benefit, because it literally it stretches across the whole problem rather than somebody being favouritism and helping their own. Let's stretch it across the whole problem and share the love cause, and the care and that people need. Because I mean, we're pretty much area specific, if I'm honest, apart from that lovely young couple that walked from South Shields to come and get food. I mean, they walk from Roker every day. Then they came from
Tom was gutted when he met them. Like, just to give a bit of clarity, what it was literally. I don't think we were older than 16 or 17 year old. This young couple, I think you said they've been coming every day for what? Four months now.
Yeah.
For food every day, walking from Roker to Hendon to pick the food up,
and then walking back.
And walking back. Just for food. I mean,
there wasn't any sort of other
no alternative.
No.
When they turn up on Wednesday, they've been put up in a B&B hostel type thing. Social have given them a bus pass, so they'd come on the bus from Westo or wherever they were staying.
The weather's changed. To
Hendon just to get fed. That's the reality of it. Like, and I'm when you look at someone, you're like, geez, you're just a Ben. Like,
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, you were a bit upset by that.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, as well, we chat. I mean, obviously, Gavin, on that night, it was great because you can get a whole perception because people have this vision of who uses a food bank.
You think you have an idea. And I mean, it's just this week, it's like just us chatting outside and stuff like that. You don't really realize. And I think I said just beforehand, I was like looking at my money. My life has changed unbeknownst to lots of people quite a lot in this year, and my job, my outlook, and my place I'm living and stuff like that. And say I don't pass my probation at my current new job, I haven't got a penny. And I've been lucky enough to never been in that position.
No.
But it's not just people who've had like a long-winded process of getting to that point. Some people are just kind of thrown into that. There's all sorts of different people, isn't there?
I think we were discussing earlier, just there was a family contacted us. They've been through the normal system and they still haven't got enough to feed them and their families. And they've always worked. The husband was laid off a couple of months ago. They didn't have a clue about how to work the benefit system. They didn't know how long things took. And they had quite a high rent because they've lived a decent lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that lady's life's just completely turned around. She said, I never thought it would happen to me. So a lot of people, we've got full-time working people who can't afford it. We've got, everybody thinks it's all drug addicts and all this. It's not.
It's not.
It's a very small proportion. I mean, the biggest, by far, look at, maybe I'm being politically incorrect saying, is universal credit. Okay, universal credit has really, really quashed people. Whether people like it or not, that is the problem. That delay in the time, even if they get a discretionary loan or whatever, it's still knocking people six. And then it has a 12-month knock-on effect because they're reducing their payments. So they still don't have enough money. So they're the people. A lot of, in the outset, we've had people come and go. They've came for the 5 weeks or so, which it takes to get money through, and then you don't see them again. And that is kind of, that's a success.
Yeah,
as long as you've been an emergency service in that time, then you've had a facility. But when you see people come down with their children in the queue amongst, I mean, at one point, I think we used to have 60 or 70 people queuing before we started at first. It's different now. It's working where it's more structured. People are coming within the hour rather than everybody queuing at the beginning. And when you see children standing in there, we used to just whip them to the front of the queue, serve them as quick as they can, make it like it's fun and make it a fun element of where they have to come because it's just so destroyed. So destroyed.
People have to realise this is in Sun and City Centre. Like literally you can walk out of the church where this is all going on and you're in Sunnyside where all the bars are, where the cinema is. Do you know what I mean? This is in the city centre of Sunland that we're talking about. These are families in our city.
I don't think it's a subject that people talk about. I think it's a subject that's happening to someone else that nobody else is interested in. So this campaign, even the fact that we're sitting here now, and for me, the money, don't get me wrong, it is wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah.
But the raising awareness for what is happening
is much more
important to me. Yeah, and when I chat to the team, because you've got to remember, it was my idea, and yes, I'm the front person, but there's 64 of us making things happen every night of the week, so it's a team effort. So we sit and have chats about where we want to go going forward and all this sort of stuff, and it just had to be done. There wasn't any choice. We all work far more hours than we even anticipated. The first night, if I could just tell you the story, we were standing there saying, should we make 15 potatoes, 20 potatoes? Because we were told there wasn't a problem. And that night, 64 people turned up. So we had to go to a local supermarket, buy a well-branded microwave potato, stay a couple of hours, put beans on the top and just make sure everybody was fed. And we've never had less than 64 we've started.
You know that first night, how did that come about? Like how did you get the word out? Like for 60 odd people to be stood on the first night.
Yeah, we went.
How did word get around?
I got leaflets done. We've still only got Facebook. We haven't got a website yet. We haven't either been able to afford one or have the time to get one made, but it was only leaflets, old-fashioned way. Went to usual places, job centre, citizens' advice, probation. You know, the places where we thought we would be attracting food bank in converted commas people.
Yeah.
Okay. And then literally Facebook, I mean, what a social media. If you want to use it in negative, yes, but for us, it's been just positive, positive, positive. So we put it on Facebook and then word of mouth. One person, there's quite a group of young people who are homeless, but they were saying, we were telling all our mates you can come and get this. So it's kind of it was word of mouth as well. But there was a need. I mean, if you've got no food and you're hungry, the word's going to spread fast. There's some way you can get free food. Get yourself there.
We,
and that is how it happened.
Me and Tom got talking to two homeless lads in the queue the other night. And I mean,
actually, it was good crack, wasn't
it? Yeah.
I reckon
they were probably about my age, maybe a little bit older. Both just fell on hard times, you know, failed relationships, I think, both of them.
Yeah.
One of them had been living on the streets for 5 months. The other about a month and a half. But I think he's been living on the streets on and off. Every time his last kicks him out, he's back out on the streets, you know what I mean? And he was saying that, you know, I said, where would you turn if it wasn't for this? Like, and they were like, don't know. There's literally nothing else for us to do. I mean,
especially on a night time.
Yeah, yeah.
Through the
yeah.
day, there's quite a lot of what I would call individual provisions where you can go to certain churches who are well-established and fantastic. May I just say, this isn't all about us. There's been, you know, people running for a long time of an odd Sunday or every Tuesday or every Thursday. But the only downside to that is people are hungry 7 days a week.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
These lads, they were stood talking to us, and they were dead funny, having a proper nice lads talking about the footy, you know what I mean? They walked away in the end. They had, you know, those big, like, freezer bags you get from Tesco's or Asda. Yeah.
One of them generous?
Must have been about 8 tubs of soup, 4 meals, loads of puddings, loads of cakes, loads of water.
Chocolate for through the night for when they get
chocolate,
bored. Come on.
Warm socks. I mean, they were wearing better clothes than me.
Because
Andrea kits them all out. I mean, it's not like out else I've ever seen. Like, they turn up and they just get looked after like human beings, you know what I mean?
Thing as well, like, we're talking about the donations and stuff that people have made from a monetary perspective. But just this morning, it's like, and you're talking about you're struggling to keep up with messages. So are we. Someone, it was 2 messages just as we were coming in. Someone's got a bed that they were going to sell, but they just want to donate. Give it to someone else.
I think you saw that lady.
She's going to help a family who we've been supporting. We've been supporting since July. She came on and she's absolutely spot on. I've got to tell you the story with her. We've been, you think we'd known each other for years when we started to talk. And she said, look, I'd like to buy the family, if possible, a new duvet and a duvet cover. And it was so funny because I had to go and ring the woman and I said, what kind of thing do like young people want these days? Because obviously I'm older now. And she went, LOL dolls. I went, what? She went, LOL dolls. So that lady's LOL dolls. So she's going to go and buy them. So they've got brand new quilts and things for Christmas.
Oh, brilliant.
So to be honest with you, again, the money, wonderful. But the kind of knock-on effect of just that family having new duvet, you know, the new pyjama syndrome type thing.
Yeah.
But new duvets of exactly current stuff. Now, the mum, she was actually in a hostel last year. So this is our first year in our first home. She hasn't got a penny, bless her cotton socks. But behind the scenes, there's loads of people helping her with Christmas presents, well, helping me to help her with Christmas presents and things. And the other day I went to see her with some shopping and she fell on her knees. It was, can't get upset. Awful. She just flopped on her knees like, oh, thank you. Horrible.
Imagine.
Over to Gavin, please.
There's another thing as well, though. We talk about, like, we've mentioned food and people not being able to eat and stuff that. But I always think, And of course, I think we've all probably thought about it this week. Like, and I've touched on before, if I lost my job, what if? Mm. Like,
I'll feed you.
And I think, well, thank you very much. And I think about that, and I think it's brilliant that we have that. But do you know what I would really miss? And you've just touched on it before. I was at the stadium like the other week in the ticket office to see Chris Waters, as it was, funnily enough. And this guy just came in, and I thought, and he was like, "You all right, mate? How are you?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine, mate." It's like, he's like, "You in the queue?" I says, no, I'm just waiting for someone. It's fine. And he went, do you work here? Because I was suited up and all that. And I went, no, I don't, mate. And he went, all right. And he went and talked to the ticket office last. And he was just like, do you know where I can get like some food? I've heard you help with food banks and stuff like that. Can you point us in the right direction? And the lass behind the counter pointed him and stuff like that. And he just went in. But then he chatted to us for like 15 minutes. I was late for Chris, as it was, because he just wanted to talk about the footy. And he had a bag with photos of his family members that had like moved or he didn't see anymore. Some food in his bag and stuff like that. But do you know what I could tell that he enjoyed most about like the whole experience? Having a chat. And I'm thinking, what would I miss? Like if I fell on that sort of, it would kind of be the community side of things.
Yeah. Do you know something? Do you know something about the loneliness?
It is so lonely, the people
that come to us, their world is lonely.
Yeah.
And just to give an example, there's what I call the sort of Rocksteady crew. They come every night, probably about an hour early, and they stand and have a bit crack on at the front of the queue, different age groups, different type of people and things. But obviously there's an older gentleman, I mean, a retired pensioner type thing. And I said to him, "Shall I run you home?" He said, "No." I said, "Honestly, I'll run you." "No, I've got a bit, I need a bit more crack on." So he waits around and has a little bit more crack on with people. But when I was in there one Saturday morning, he stopped us and he said, "Pet, I know you're trying to be helpful." He said, "But for me, I'm an older person. I've got to get out to a place. I've got to make sure that I'm doing things every day so that I'm active and keep my brain active and I meet people." He said, "So if I'm ever in your need, I'll ask you." He said, "But until then, just let us get on with it," type thing. So you just think, "Whoa, respect." You know what I mean? You think you're doing, you know. But he comes every day. But if he doesn't go, believe it, if he doesn't come, He leaves us a note that we're not going to be there, so we don't worry about him. He gives us a note through the door. Awesome. And then the other thing, got to tell you this, we've got this basically a red carpet event, which is in, it's Valentine's night at the mm-hmm. Seaburn Hotel. It's probably a thank you to get all of this, the volunteers together, but it's the fundraising side of things, if it comes along, great. Now, we've got 10 tickets, so 10 of the people in the queue, we're going to make sure that they're with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've kitted out. One of the girls is looking at, we've got two homeless guys who I absolutely love. I'm sorry, I love them more than life itself. And they get well spoiled, but they sent us lovely thank you cards. And one of the girls thinking about doing a fundraiser, put them in a hotel for the night, get them cleaned up and everything, give them an outfit. So there's sort of all sorts going on with regard to the social side. But just to get back to that elderly gentleman, I said to him, would he be my date? He said, I'll let you know. I mean, so I was turned down by a pensioner, and then he came back a couple of days later, and he said, "By the way, I'd be honoured." So he's my date. So I've actually got a date. Yeah.
The thing talking about the community aspect of it, you know, I think especially with homeless people, they're dehumanised to a large degree. So, I mean, Damien wrote a great piece on the site the other day about this, where, you know, we kind of ignore it. I mean, there's a horrendous photo of Boris Johnson where he's just walking past a homeless guy hugging a dog. Yep. And that is, for the majority of people, and I've probably done it before, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, where you see a homeless person and you just carry on. You just, I'm going from A to B, and like, you kind of just ignore the fact that they're there. And what you don't realise is that like, these are people who really need help. And turning up to a place like the soup kitchen where they can go, they can get well fed, they don't get treated like they're any different than anybody else. They just turn up and they have a bit crack, and they're treated really well.
And they get hugs, don't forget.
And that, I've seen you hugging them.
Hang on a minute. Plenty of hugs about the world, yeah. No.
That'll not happen.
Goes a long way. Goes a long way.
It really won't. Like, and I'll admit as well, yeah, absolutely guilty as well. I mean, obviously I've only been back in Sunderland for about 9 weeks, but the problem with food banks is it's a UK problem at the minute as well, very much so. Like, Glasgow was...
Do you know the problem, though?
The same.
The problem, Graham, is that you told me this, that the figures on homeless people in Sunderland are totally misproportionate. What you're told and what the case actually is completely different. I mean, I was talking to the go back to the two homeless lads we were talking to in the queue, and Tom said, so how many homeless people do you think are actually living in Sunderland? And they went, whoa. I think a lot of them stay like around Mowbray Parkway, and he was like, there's at least 70 there a night. That's just in one place. And he's like, you know, a lot of them going where Marks and Spencer's is.
They were
used to be.
They were talking about staying warm, weren't they? There's somewhere with blowers.
Yeah,
there.
So
where there's a heat.
Where the winter gardens, where the winter gardens is, there's like a heat output which blows hot air out.
Yeah.
And there's a load of them stay there, obviously, because they can stay warm there.
Yeah.
And they took their tent off them, didn't they?
Yeah. So, I mean...
They took their tent off them the other day. So, they now, I mean, last week we gave them, I think, their third tent, and the tent was taken off them again last week, so they're tentless again.
Who was taking the tent?
I don't know. Somebody's... Authorities take their tents away, so they can't...
Yeah, so they...
They can't camp out there, I suppose.
The lad I was talking to, who told me that they were told that a young male can survive outdoors for like up to 25 days, providing the temperature doesn't go below freezing. That's what they're actually told. So obviously if you're a young lady or a family, you would probably get looked after, put up somewhere. But young lads go to the back of the queue, sort of thing. There's even a priority list. You're homeless. There's plenty of empty buildings in the city.
So many,
isn't there? You know what I mean?
If you think about it as well, it's just there's a national thing. As I say, even the people that the Sunderland Food Bank, they're a national organisation, and it's wonderful that they're in more cities now. But I just, maybe it's because that's expectedness in every city, and maybe the whole volume of what the issue is looks like it's under control.
Yeah.
But we've found that that's not the case. It's not the case at all. And I mean, sofa surfing, you're still no fixed abode. So it's, you know, and there's a lot of people who come to us sofa surf. So I think the problem has been somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in that problem. And if you look at it as well, I don't sometimes think the television does it any good, because there's more programmes now saying that people on the streets are wealthier than you because they're beggars and they go back to their private apartments and things.
Poverty porn.
Yeah. So I think that sometimes there's a balance. Then Dispatches
comes
out the other night and shows the true side of children poverty. Now, every time I do a post about children, I put it every single time. Children are innocent in poverty.
Yeah,
okay, they are totally innocent. They've got no control over it. They've got no
choice.
They've got no choice. So if you look at it as well, I mean, the people will say, "Ah, but they've got addictions." All this sort of, that's just again, it's just not the case. The majority of it is normal matters of waiting for benefits. People lost jobs. Parents, you know, parents splitting up. Oh, yeah. And that is one of those on dispatches.
Yeah. I mean, anybody you listen to this who hasn't watched it yet, just go on to Fours On Demand Play and watch it. You have to watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's if there's one thing anybody has to watch this week, it's that program.
Now, what you've got to look at based on, well, before that program, when I'll give you a little example. A young family came along, and that day, me and the volunteers had been up a 40-year-old tree in an allotment hand-picking apples, because literally we live from hand to mouth. Honestly, we are. If you give us apples, the team go and pick the apples. Anyway, this family came along, and I said, "Would you like an apple?" And they looked at me like I was like, "What the? I don't know what you're talking about." I said, "The woman, your family, your children don't know what an apple is." She went, "No, I've never bought fruit and veg for them." So she's just never had the money or the education to cook with fruit and vegetables.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we give the children, we wash the apple, give them sliced up, give it the apple. And you think you'd give them nectar, their faces and all this sort of stuff. So that was it. Sparked an idea. Okay, maybe we need to. So going forward, we've got a, I don't know if I can say this, it probably sounds awful. I don't like the word food bank. I think it's got a bit of a stigma. Yeah. I think it's got something. So ours is a people's food initiative. There's various aspects of it, but the food that we give away will have fruit and vegetables in. We gave a food parcel away last week, and what we did was we put pasta sauce, fresh mushrooms, fresh peppers, fresh onions and everything to make a meal. So that's going forward where we're heading. So what Gavin's and Tom have done is give us an option. Because we've now gone in touch with a massive wholesaler, and last night they've dropped us off a pallet of a lot of fruit and veg. But going forward, we can order that and pay for it. We can make sure, because we've got funds, we can go and buy that stuff and make sure in the food parcels there's fruit and veg. Because if you look at the little boy on dispatches, he was pasty grey.
Yeah.
Okay. When you don't have a good diet as a child, it's got massive long-term effects on the NHS. These children are going to be poorly. So if we can have a 5-year plan kicking in some fruit and veg into people's diets, we don't know what that might knock on effect, where other people get involved in maybe supporting families who don't have a proper diet. You know, but people do jump on these things, which would be great, more the merrier. But the People's Food Initiative, we've got this big factory in Hendon, a bit empty at the minute, a bit rattling around, but we've only had the keys a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But what we thought, a lot of problem is dignity. People are ashamed, and it's a difficult thing for people to ask for help sometimes.
So what we've
thought is, I mean, we've got quite a lot of working people who are nil contracts or full time, and they can't do it. So they can come along for an hour, do some volunteering for an hour, take their food home. There's dignity in working for it.
Yeah.
Pick what your family want. You want Cocoa Pops or Rice Krispies? They take what their family want, not given a bag to live off.
Yeah.
So going forward, the big plan for me, I don't know if anybody in the city does it, but Sunderland's going to become the caring city where you give the people choice and you give the people dignity back. Now, I always explain this. If you can't afford to buy a car, you go and get a car loan. There's no shame in that. Okay? If you haven't got food, there should be no shame in going to a place that will support you and give you food. It should be quite normal. Okay? Now, there's the other issue, because there's greedy and not needy. Okay? There's people that come along so they can... they can go and, you know, spend money in different ways. But to me, that you've got to take the rough with the smooth.
Yeah.
If you've got a family that needs it, I mean, you're always going to get somebody abusing a system, and that will be the case. But as long as we monitor it, put things in place, the people who need it won't be penalised for that. So in a sense, the initiative going forward is going to be great, because people can just, and it's we're going to open at night. So people can come along and they'll never be short of food. And you've seen how generous we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, we think you should go away with a healthy amount of food. So this is why we need support, because we need a healthy amount of food to give out. So this is going forward. You've got no, I cry all the time, but Gavin thinks I'm a nutter, but I don't think you realise how this fundraising will put, we're all volunteers. There's not one of us get paid. So there's not big money going out here, there and everywhere. We just know we can plough it back into the vision that we've got for Sunderland.
Thing I like about it as well, and I think I touched on it before, someone asked me about it the other day. I think Sunderlanders people over the past couple of years, maybe because of certain political aspects, have been given a bit of a bad rap sometimes for certain things.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's certain things mm-hmm. where
I think we're being penalised. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes people have an opinion of Sunderland and people from Sunderland and the thoughts and the way that they are. I think if there's one thing that makes me really proud about like being involved in it and stuff like this and what's happened this week is that I think this shows Sunderland people more than anything.
Yeah.
I think this really shows what Sunderland people are about. And I think it's opening people's eyes to being like, all right, so Sunderland are that place. Yeah. We've always known we've been that place. We know that things that this can work. We know that even though we're surprised.
Sorry, I think we're the best people in the world.
Oh, yeah. Well, so do I.
I've lived abroad and I still tell people they're the best people in the world. Nothing like a person from the North. Let's be honest, the North East.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. Not just Sunderland. People from Newcastle, Lennyboro, South Shields, Durham, mm-hmm. everybody is absolutely the same. If you fell over in the street, they'd pick you up.
Yeah.
They pick you up. They don't step over you. Down south, get straight over you.
Yeah.
Okay? No disrespect to you Southerners. But it just doesn't work that way. A northern person would not walk on by. It's not in us.
It's nice to see a bit of good coverage of this as well, because what really not, and I'm going to bring it up, not me yesterday, I watched Phil Parkinson's press conference with the media yesterday, which the club stream on Facebook.
Yeah.
And from the bat, you had Dawn Thewlis from the BBC Look North, asking about negative Sunderland fans on social media. She went on about it for about 5 minutes. Not once was the fact that Sunderland fans have raised tens of thousands for charity just using social media was brought up. It was negative Sunderland fans, negative this, negative that. What do you make of fan negativity towards you? And I was thinking,
Can I ask a question?
We need to be better represented. Sunderland fans have just raised a hell of a lot of money.
Do you think
people are interested if you're positivity? I think they only want to knock. I think they want to be negative. I don't know if it's new sales, especially
if you're a Newcastle fan sitting in a Sunderland press conference, you're trying to create negativity. I thought it was horrendous, if I'm honest. Total lack of respect.
But I think she is an anomaly. For what you're doing at the moment as well.
Don't get us wrong. She's an anomaly because we've had brilliant support from. Yeah. We've had the lads from the Sunderland Network have donated and wrote about it. Lads from the Chronicle have donated and wrote about it. George Colkin's been really supportive. He's put some money in.
Great
you know
work,
what I mean? The, going further than that. Tom White and Dave Jones from Sky, who you know two of the main presenters on Sky Sports, both Sunderland fans. We've had fantastic. Yes, that's it. Doesn't matter what background you come from. I would like on the back of this, not us. I'm not bothered about Rota Report. I mean, just Sunderland people have really clubbed together to help, and it shouldn't just be a Christmas thing either. It should be all around the year, supporting each other. I mean, all we've done is raise awareness, and you've had people getting in touch with you now, offering help, offering this, offering
actually,
that.
Actually, we've had a lot of people want to wear Christmas Day, so I'm so sorry we're actually full for Christmas Day.
I mean, just looking at my phone now, I haven't got time to read the full message, but we've got a guy asking if I can ring him because he wants to discuss how he can help out. Don't know who he works for, whatever, but there we go. You've got people who are seeing it now, and they're like, we really want to help. We see the amount of money raising, like, God, everyone's so proud. And they're like, Sunderland fans are the best. Sunderland fans are this. Sunderland people are the best. It's totally right.
Do you not think an influx of energy was needed? I mean, I think it's took something like this to put an influx of positivity back into the fans who are a bit deflated by the sounds of things.
The
only thing is, like, what you've got to jump back onto is when they were needed, they came up trumps once again.
Yeah.
So that's what you've got to look at every single time you need help. People from Sunderland just or the northeast or people linked to the northeast, they come up trumps regardless. And this, I mean, if you look at it, this for I don't know how many times have you and I messaged unbelievable. Okay, we're sick of the word unbelievable, but for somebody as small as us, just starting out, and Gavin's not a media guru, he's just a lad with tons of passion, can create this kind of wave that knocks on to this kind of money. It is unbelievable.
It's great because it's in a sense, like, and not knocking it or anything, but it is just an idea. If no one gets on with it, the praise has kind of got to go to like the whole thing, hasn't it?
Of course it has.
You can have that idea. But like the fact that so many people have took onto it. I mean, some of the players have touched on Duncan Watmore. There's been, you know, another player donated this morning who I won't mention. But you've got people like the players at the club. You've got journalists. You've mentioned Tom. You've mentioned Dave. There's so many people, and there's just everyone from the area sort of come together and it's one, haven't they? There's no.
Yeah.
It's not one section of like literally everyone's come together with it.
Can I just chip in now on that conversation? I saw a pound. Now anybody else would go, "Blimey, a pound." That pound, we can buy four tins of food.
Yeah.
With a pound.
Yeah.
I don't think, I mean, we've got this bottle of Poppers. We've had it from the start. I'm a bit of a plastics, I'm not keen on the old plastic being wasted. So I put a scheme out to ask people for £1.09.
Yeah.
The same price as a branded bottle of pop, but save that plastic bottle. And we've got a few schools and colleges on board with that now who are going to really push for me, the education's the most important. If we can educate the Absolutely. Plastic bottle scene, we can educate the dietary requirements, we can educate people to not think that a certain sector of life is the lowest form of life, because they're not.
Education is a huge thing.
So we are trying to knock different elements out, which will, in the long run, not just be from a food service, it will be benefiting people's the next generation and the next generation, because we've only spoke to a lady yesterday about cookery lessons. If people don't know how, they've never been taught how to cook. We've got somebody who's offered us this big multiple kitchen to get people along. So we've got batch cooking. The other day we spoke to a food supplier who, can I mention them? Am I allowed?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm allowed. Nico Rossi. Okay, they've supported us all along. And we sat the other day chatting, saying in the new year, should we put together batch cookery ideas with simple ingredients, possibly. A lot of it's all pastas, all round Italian, but what you can add to make it different. And we'll put batch recipes out there and then we'll put in the bag what they need to make for that recipe. Yeah. It's like a knock-on effect. So going forward, it's not just this little scheme. It's become this family of people who are trying to put people's lives right.
Yeah.
It's not just that, you know, we're not just putting the fire out. We're just looking long-term of how can we manage this. So again, this is going back to the pot of money that's accumulating as we speak.
That
just means we can branch out in different directions and just educate people to eat in the long run. Again, health benefits in the long run, everything. So it's important. But maybe that's what people don't see, how much work goes in behind. We're a very professional outfit. We're not just a couple of people who've turned up. We've had to go through a full rigorous council checks hygiene, which we passed with flying colours, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's just a case of it's not easy to do. And then we maintain it 7 nights a week. We keep enough staff and enough supplies. My sister calls me a professional beggar. But it doesn't matter. As long as the stuff comes in and we can make it. But 7 nights a week is difficult. But the need is 7 nights a week.
Hmm.
And it's only we serve 110 on average in 1 hour.
I could do with a few cuckoo lessons myself. I'm sure Ashley will back that up.
Well, you've seen how fast the pace is. The volunteers are absolutely outstanding.
Yeah.
It's like ding, 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 ding. And that is exactly how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got it off to a T, but it's took us a couple of months to get it right. But now it is such a finely tuned. I mean, we even wear high vis because it's dark. We've took every health and safety aspect into account to make sure you see us as professional. Just it's got to be a professional outfit. Otherwise, as I say, we're not good at what we're doing. But we want a long-term solution here in Sunderland because it's not going to go away. The problem isn't going to stop. It's just going to get worse.
I mean, that's it, isn't it? I mean, the amount of comments we've had from people saying this shouldn't even be a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and they're bang on. But the problem is, it is a thing. We have to face it head on, and it's getting worse. It's getting worse. It's not getting better.
Because it's great, the donations and stuff like that. But, like, a lot of people have gone, this is fantastic. But the fact that it has to be done is actually, like, why is this happening and so on and sort of thing. And you're right in what you're saying. This money, yes, it's going
to shouldn't take a bunch of volunteers to feed hungry people. That's the top bottom of it.
No, not at all. Do you know what I mean? We are a registered charity.
I was going to say, we are a registered charity, but we just haven't had the time to sit and put funding bids in because we hit the ground running, working every day, just trying to make it happen. I mean, we've got such good people. You've got no idea. I mean, I know it's a horrible phrase to say of Carling made volunteers. They are just probably the best they are just the best.
How did you get the volunteers? Because obviously you had an idea. I'm guessing there was a couple of people together, but how do you get other people on board to come along and say, like, I want to help this?
Do you know something? It was quite bizarre what you're asking. I was a youth worker years ago, and the lady, she's got a buffet company.
Yeah.
She comes and helps us 4 days a week. We've been friends 30 years. And young people who were, we used to work around people in the care system back then, the looked after system, and they're in front of us now. And they look at us as if to say, don't say anything, and we don't. They know, we all know what goes on. It's very discreet, but obviously, when Joyce and I have a chat, we say, can you believe it's still the same?
The same people
in the same position. And obviously, the work we did 30 years ago. So friends, going back to you, lots of friends have came on board and helped. We just advertised and just the best people in the world just seemed to come up. We did training courses leading up to opening, so everybody got, you know, their level two and things, and it gives us a chance to, without being, actually, this is going to sound negative, I needed a team that wanted to help other people, not wanted to help themselves.
Yeah,
I didn't. Get what you mean. Yeah,
so a lot of people like to be seen to doing charity work.
They like to be seen, and that was the people that we didn't need. We didn't need that kind of behaviour. Unfortunately, I'm sorry to be picky to the people, but we didn't need it. And it was just, I needed that longevity where people are heart and soul into this thing, kicking. I mean, literally, we've all ploughed our own money into things. Come on, and people, every volunteer has come up with something. I mean, Judith, for instance, she's an absolute star. She's got her own business. She set up a netball tournament in March. Everybody's come up with great ideas, even long term. We're doing a Boxing Day dip. Judith's organised a Boxing Day dip. Again, people are just really trying to. Because we haven't concentrated on money. Honestly, we've just asked for clothes, food, and we've lived off that. We've been asking for £1.09 for a couple of months, and I've got to be honest, it never worked out. I must have been a rubbish campaign because it never worked out very good until Gavin came along. We never got any money in, but we got plenty of vegetables and clothes. Just to mention clothes, Shelter UK.
Yeah.
One of their workers, Hannah, noticed us on Facebook and she contacted us. And now we've got a shop inside a shop. We've got a big, beautiful white room with all rails on, with clothes, where our visitors, they go through the Shelter charity shop, up the stairs, with no lack of dignity in what they do, and they go and just choose off the peg what they need, pick their size. We've got a lovely little voucher, which we call Given With Love Voucher. There's no stigma. Again, we haven't used them yet because I wasn't sure if it put half a stigma in there, so we just invited them along, and they just pick the items what they need. And we've the first week we did 22 families. The second week we did 15 the second week, and then we only had to do 6. But in the long run, we've given out 68 bags, bin liners of clothes in the last 6 weeks.
And that great though, that but you can just turn up and get dressed. I mean, it is not great in the sense that it's necessary.
Should say the designer names. Idea what people have given us with tags on.
That's what I'm saying. Well, the two homeless lads I was talking to, they were dressed pretty well, and they were. There was another fella I was talking to at the front of the queue. I mean, you might be able to expand this story, but he was telling us about his situation. I'm not going too much into detail, but he's a living carer for his friend who's about to die. He said he'd probably not make Christmas. And he says, once he dies, I'll be homeless. And he looked at us and he went, you see this hat on my head, scarf around my neck, coat, pants, underwear, socks, shoes. Every item of clothing came out here. Says I wouldn't have a stitch on my back if it wasn't for these.
People have been so kind. They've given us, brand new. Okay, I got a bit knocked at first. Actually, the only knock I've ever had on Facebook was because I asked for new blankets. I asked for new blankets, and I got quite a lot of hard press saying, why can't they take second-hand blankets? So I said, right, fair enough, take it. And people were sending us blankets with dog hairs on. I was like, come on, what the?
Yeah.
Come on. You know what I mean? So we kind of obviously took them to the tip. And then just going back to the principles, but the people are wearing new socks. They're wearing brand new underpants because, I can't even describe what I think about that, but come on. So it's just a case of the clothes. Can I mention him? Gary Bennett.
Of course you can.
Gary Bennett, right? Honestly, he's such a quiet hero.
Start from
to
the
us.
Beginning with Gary, because.
Yeah, Gary contacted us to say, look, I just want to help, but I don't want any of the hoi polloi that goes with it. I don't need credit and I just want to get on with it. He's honestly been a star. He brought us water. He's brought when we needed. I mean, we're talking a lot of water. We give out 100 bottles, and we did speak to Northumbria Water yesterday about looking at a solution for that, by the way. But he's brought us. And then the other Saturday night, he pulls up in his car. Hi, Andrew, are you all right? Loads and loads of padded quarts come out the car, and then just drove off again. See you later, guys. Honestly, it was like, okay, see you, Gary. So very, very nonchalant. That guy is amazing. Anyway, he's obviously spoke to some of the former players, and we've had a £500 donation off them, which is
on
absolutely
the back of all this.
It's just absolutely awesome. But that man is quietly a really, really kind man. Okay,
he's a gentle giant.
He's a wonderful
Unless
man.
Unless David Speedy, like.
Andrea probably doesn't know.
I don't
that,
know
so.
About that.
Oh yeah.
Wait,
you've not seen the video of him hoying someone in the air clock stand at Roker Park?
No, but I will. Oh, I will.
It's probably
get
the most. Yeah,
you'll be shocked.
And everyone listening to this will know what it is because it's probably the most famous Sunderland video ever, other than Ian Porterfield's goal against Leeds.
But I'm not being funny. If I may say, he's came multiple times and he serves the food. You should see the people in the queue. They're like, hurry, 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 hurry. Yeah. There's pictures with everybody and a couple of the veterans who were former veterans. Oh, my God, they were just absolutely over the moon. He took time with them. He spoke to everybody. He served them their food, you know. Do you want your dessert? It was just, and to be honest with you, he didn't ask for any like publicity. He was absolutely awesome.
Yeah,
he also arranged Northumbria Water for us to be Make-A-Wish. And there was these two big carloads of stuff turned up from Northumbria Water. And again, he just sits at the background. I'm saying, get in. He says, no, you take the kind of credit type thing. What a guy. Honestly, what a guy.
He's posted a lot of stuff recently about sort of mental health and stuff like that as well, I've noticed. He's kind of on board with that. He just spreads himself all over but never wants to be at the forefront, so it seems, Gary Bennett.
Well, we've even discussed, long-term goals of people who were disadvantaged getting the chance to go and play football. I mean, he mentioned things about the Beacon of Light. He said there might be some way we can possibly look at getting cookery court, because apparently they've got a facility.
Jamie Oliver kitchen.
Yeah,
there,
they've got a big kitchen there. So he said, long term, once we can slow the Ferris wheel down a little bit, there's so many opportunities, because he saw the same as you, young people in the queue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Young people with there's no hope for them. They've got no vision. They've got in their chance. They say they have no chance in life. Nobody cares. And if you, I mean, you've spoke to people now, the biggest achievement of what we've done is the fact that those people just know we care. They know they can come to us. And actually, we've only had to call the police once. The man was so drunk, 2:30 in the afternoon, he headed to us. And I said, see, you don't see it as, you see it as negative. I see it. He came to a safe place, because he knew we'd call the ambulance and get him away. And we did. Mm. He went to a safe place. So that's what people are finding now. It is the safe place to go. And then if you look at it as well, we've never had any police presence, not one. And we, every single night, the people come down, so courteous, so kind.
Oh, yeah.
And they just
really kind,
just go. They just get their food and go. Now, when I did a little bit of research before Christmas, sitting down, people told me there was issues with, I suppose, gangs, was what you could call it. So people wouldn't go to eat. So this is probably why we get so many people, because we're transitional. People come and go, like a takeaway. Come and go, come and go. But everybody gets fed. That was the way we had to do it. So, but at least Sunderland is catered for a nice place where people can sit down, but then they also can just come and get their food and go. So
there might even be people listening to this now who are actually in a situation where they might actually have to turn to the soup kitchen. And what I can say is that if you are, there's no better place to turn, is there really?
I'm being modest.
I know you're sat next to me. No, but genuinely,
there's not.
You turn up, you walk away with a bag full of food, anything you need, and there's no, you should never be ashamed of it. And you're not treated like anything other than a normal person when you're there.
If you're new, it's like, hi, are you all right? Have you been here before? No. Okay, well, this is what you do, and this is what they go, really? Yeah, that's what you have. Just, have you got a bag? Because I'm the bag queen. If you haven't got your bag, you get grief. Because we bought all environmentally friendly, the Hessian bags.
Yep.
So most of the Hessian bag crew turn back up with their bags and things. If they don't fall, they get grief. Where's your bags? And I'll say, you'll get one in one hand and one in the other mind. But I never do. I stuff things in pockets and things. But it's do you know something? It's great. And it's only going to get bigger and worse. So again, moving forward, we have to do things like this fundraising. Because look, no charity can live on food donations and clothes donations alone. So we're hoping to get bigger and better, but it just means we can give a better, bigger and better facility to anybody who needs us. I mean, the thing is as well, there's always that question, which if I had a pound, I would be wealthy by now. What's the criteria? Is there a criteria? I said, no. Do you want pasta or curry? So there isn't a criteria. And I think that's the winning formula going forward for any food service. I think you've got to stop making it so stringent. I mean, for instance, there's a nurse who comes to us every single week, okay, and we never ever have questioned, because she works like a trooper, and she just can't make it. But she's not really in the system where she can be allowed to get help, because she works.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a tough balance for people. So onward, is it upward and onward or onward and
upward? Onward.
I always get them confused, but that's the only way we can look at things. And each step of the way, I mean, now, just by the way, I haven't mentioned everything, got two allotments, organic food going forwards. So
big allotments as well.
No, one's a community allotment. Literally, it's ready to go. And the other one is my little neighbours give us a stretch of his allotment because you've got to wait ages for an allotment.
Yeah. I'm still waiting. I've been on the queue for 10 years.
So he said, you can have a stretch of mine and he's going to teach. And believe it or not, we've got City of Sunderland College. They're already enrolled in that, so they're going to come down and do that. Hmm. I mean, St Anthony's Academy, they're going to do loads of fundraising. Actually, my niece, Hi Rich, who wasn't involved, by the way, she just said she didn't even know I'd been there. But anyway, all of them teachers, that they're going to do they're talking about climbing Kilimanjaro up some steps, but the same amount of thing. Now, going back to that, our lovely Lauren, okay, she's had a tough time, okay? She came to us when she was in refuge with the council and she just said, look, for my sanity, can I come down? Now, we're stuck together, aren't we, Lauren? But she's actually climbing Kilimanjaro next year.
Class.
Decent. Yeah, so again, that's another one of our volunteers who she was rock bottom, bless her cotton socks. Yeah. And now she's pulled herself up, but now she's worked with us. She's doing that to pay us and another charity back who've helped her.
So, we've nearly run out of time, but just to put a lid on it, like, if people want to come down, I know where it is, but anyone listening to this wants to come down and drop donations off, or even if there's people listening who need help, basically, because it's not just about food, is it? They'll come down and get any help you can offer.
We've got toiletries. Maybe give out toiletries, clothes, at the minute, hats, scarves, gloves.
Advice on whatever.
Yeah, we can point them in the right direction. Obviously, agencies have given us leaflets that we can, send people in the right direction. We've got sleeping bags, blankets.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of things. If I could plug ourselves,
yeah. Whatever you need to do,
We've got an open evening from the 14th to the 21st of December, from 6 to 7 down at Addison Street.
That 14th is 8 days away. So is that from a Saturday? Is it?
Yes, we're doing Saturday to Saturday. So anybody who said, "Look, we want to bring you things," that's the time to do it, and it would give us time to get hampers put together so we can give them out on the 22nd, 23rd, 24th to the people who we need. So just to reiterate, we've got a new factory in Addison Street, which is opposite Booker, down in Hendon,
right?
Or next door, if I can say this, to Advanced Door Company. We're a couple of doors off that. So if you could come down between 6 and 7 and bring any items that you've kind of pledged. The staff are there with mince pies. We've got fake mulled wine. We haven't got any alcoholic. And we've got a big Christmas tree going up and we just want to welcome everybody. But take in all the nice items, that the shoe boxes and the stockings and everything that people have promised, and then get them distributed thereafter. But food-wise, we're at every single night of the week. Christmas Day, we're open, but it would be people probably have been coming to us a long time. We've already sort of took the places for that, unfortunately. And then a lot of people are catered for by St Mary's, which is, again, great on Christmas Day. I worked there last year, volunteered last year. So people should be covered. If not, we'll give them food to cover if they can cook themselves. So they'll always have enough food for Christmas Day. But that's the only day in the year that we're not there. Any night of the week, 6 till 7, we're in Hudson Road. And it's the little church opposite. Basically, if you turn in between what the old Crown House was and Thorburn's, fruiters down that dip towards Hudson Road School with a little church on the left. But anybody's welcome. There's no criteria. Okay, you can come along and it's just there is a bit of a queue to start with and just have a bit crack on with us. There's no stigma, no questions asked, and we'll just ask you what you want. So 6 till 7 at Emmanuel Church, which is Hudson Road, and then from the 14th to the 21st, we're down at our factory unit in Addison for all of the things that are being pledged, please.
And if Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen on Facebook as well, because that's pretty much where you're easiest to reach.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So if anyone wants to
all of the
drop
info
you a message
there,
or even read the post, see how things are going, it's on there.
But can I just obviously finalise things? Just thank you. Honestly, thank you from the bottom of the team's heart. And Gav, just thanks for caring about what we do. And as I say, it's ricocheted into something quite important now. Yeah. Thanks for having us today and to giving us a platform to actually, explain what's going on and make it really clear. If there's been any perceptions, it's important. So thank you so much and Merry Christmas, everyone.
No problem at all. And just to give a quick update.
Yeah, what's your...
And on air, GoFundMe...
Hang on, can we do it? Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Oh my God.
Well, £13,640. So, I mean...
unbelievable.
I mean, so in the time we've been sat down, there's about 250, 300 quid. And it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I just hope it continues. We're going to, just to let people know, we're probably going to keep it running until about the 11th, because that's about 2 weeks before Christmas.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a, like, once you finish and you decide you're going to start withdrawing money, it takes a couple of days to clear, get it to the food bank, get it obviously over to the soup kitchen, and then for them to use it however they need to over Christmas and what have you.
And I think overall our social media channels, everything's tied
everywhere. It's in our Instagram bio, the link. The Twitter is in our bio. Yeah, in our bio. I mean, we've pretty much ran an article around the subject of hunger, poverty and homelessness every day since we started this.
Yeah.
But we'll be trying to keep the links in all the articles. So, I mean, just look for us or look for the soup kitchen and you'll find a way to donate.
The only thing is, though, guys, it is happening. And it's on your doorstep and people do need help. So if you, I mean, I know it sounds really mad, even if you don't want to buy cards this year.
We've had lots of people say, just don't buy the cards.
Yeah. I mean, don't waste the paper, all this sort of thing. You can do everything electronically now. Well, and
I reckon about 50 people who've left comments on the GoFundMe have said, I'm doing this instead of buying Christmas cards.
Actually, I shouldn't have said that because I've just asked lots of people to write cards out to give to the homeless people so they've got a gift sort of thing. But I'm just saying, on the whole, on the masses, if they could cut down one pack of cards and just say, look, we can either go and buy some food or buy something.
Even just one less pint of the match.
Yeah, that's what we said.
One less pint of the match. I mean,
one bottle of pop, one less pint of the match. Yeah. I mean, literally, it's not going to make any
difference. Sunderland were due to play Bury in a couple of weeks. What would you have spent in the pub before the match?
A couple of pints
in the pub, maybe a pie at half time. I mean, it would be really, really greatly appreciated. That sort of money.
If there's anybody listening as well who wants to do their own event, absolutely. I mean, obviously, it's
fundraising. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not being cheeky now. Our Facebook post reach is enormous, absolutely enormous. So if you do an event, you're going to be advertised on our platform. I think we're looking at sometimes 157,000
post reach.
So a week.
Shows
people care, but that's a massive advertising platform too. So if you wanted to do an event, obviously we'll do that again, but it just means you're helping us, we help you. Isn't that the way the world should be?
Yeah.
We just all help each other rather than fight each other or fight the issues or be negative. Just let's be positive. Let's have the best Christmas ever. And let's just enjoy it. But thank you, everybody. Honestly, it is important and it has been. Actually, I'm really pleased I met you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been.
Things happen for a reason.
Things happen for a reason. Yes, it does. And it just.
I could say the same about Gav.
No.
Yeah. Well, you're stuck with me now. I mean, you surrogate son. Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
That's where I see you most. We your smile and eyes. If you smile
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.